Stephen Grellet was a French-born Quaker, one of the best-known Quakers of the early 1800s. He traveled extensively and preached to thousands. One day, as he was in prayer, he felt that God was calling him to take a long journey into the American backwoods to preach to the woodcutters. Woodcutting was an isolated profession, like working on an offshore oil rig today. And Grellet heard God's voice speaking to him, "Go out there and preach to those lonely men." Filled with compassion and a sense of the Spirit's guidance, Grellet left his family to venture into the backwoods. Grellet felt drawn to a specific spot in the backcountry. It was a place he had visited before, and he felt certain that God was calling him there again. He felt a flood of peace and assurance when he arrived at the woodcutter camp. But as he looked around, he soon realized that the camp was totally devoid of human presence. It had been abandoned days ago. The woodcutters had moved into the forest and might not be back for weeks. Grellet considered that perhaps he was mistaken. Maybe he was in the wrong location, but something within him said, "No, this is exactly where you're supposed to be." He prayed silently, asking God for guidance. The response was, "Deliver your message." In this abandoned encampment, there was one large wooden hut that stood out. Grellet stepped inside and made his way to the back of the structure. He turned around, facing the entrance, and he began to preach. He preached as if the place were packed with hundreds of people. He spoke about how the love of God is the greatest thing in the world. He spoke about how sin builds a wall between human beings and God's love. He spoke about the self-sacrificial love of God and how it triumphs over all. After preaching his message, Grellet was exhausted. He drank some water from a nearby stream, ate a bit of bread he carried in his pocket, and then he began his long journey back home. He never saw any woodcutters, yet he felt peace in his spirit. He felt certain that he had been faithful in what God had given him to do, even if he didn't understand it. Years later, and a continent away, Stephen Grellet was crossing London Bridge, wearing his distinctive Quaker suit and broad-brimmed hat. Someone grabbed him by the arm. "There you are. I've found you at last." Grellet was surprised and probably a little nervous to have this gruff stranger grab him by the arm. "I think you must have the wrong person, friend." "Absolutely not," said the stranger. "I've been looking for you, and I'm not mistaken. You're the man from the woods." It turns out that Stephen Grellet wasn't entirely alone that day when he visited the woodcutter's encampment. The man standing before him told him about how he had returned to the empty encampment looking for a tool he'd left behind. As he was retrieving it, he heard Grellet's voice booming from the wooden hut at the center of the camp. As Grellet spoke, the lone woodcutter watched through the cracks in the walls, and the gospel message shone the cracks in his heart. By the time Stephen Grellet left the camp, this man's life had been changed forever. After hearing Grellet's message, he felt hopeful because of God's love. Eventually, he found a Bible and began discovering the way of Jesus. He began to amend his life. At first, the other woodcutters made fun of him, but the man's faith was infectious. "It's share and share alike in the forest," the woodcutter told Grellet on London Bridge. "I told the men all about the gospel just like you. I gave them no peace until everyone was brought home to God. Three of them went out to preach in other regions. At least 1,000 have heard that sermon of yours, which you preached to nobody." Jesus sends out his 12 disciples to teach, heal, and preach the good news of the kingdom of God throughout the villages of Judea. As he prepares them for their journey, he says, The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into the harvest. Jesus and his little community of disciples were very small. They lived on the margins of society. Yet the crowds flocked to them, eager to hear the good news of the kingdom. Like a mustard seed growing into the greatest of shrubs, or like a little bit of yeast causing the whole loaf to rise, God used these handful of disciples to have an astonishing impact on the world. God's story is one of continuing surprise. These surprises go all the way back to the beginning, all the way back to when Abraham and Sarah hear a visitor say that she will soon have a son. Given her age, there's only one response. She laughs at the ridiculousness of it. And the Lord says to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh? Is anything too wonderful for me? Count on it. It's going to happen just like I said." Sarah comes out of the tent sheepish and afraid. She tries to deny it. "I didn't laugh." But the visitor says, "Yes, you did laugh." This is one of the most intriguing exchanges in Scripture. What a weird story. And yet it conveys something that we know is true. God knows us. God understands us, even if we'd prefer he didn't. And God accepts us, even when we can't quite believe him because it's just too absurd. Sarah sees the whole situation as ridiculous, and she's right. It doesn't make any sense, but God responds by insisting, "I will make something amazing out of this ridiculous situation. And you will know that I did it precisely because it's impossible." The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. I think back to Stephen Growlithe and his apparently pointless sermon to an empty wooden hut in the backwoods. I remember the 12 disciples, a band of misfits, living on the margins, the last people you'd expect to change the world. I think of Abraham and Sarah, people who should have been great-grandparents but were instead expecting an infant child. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. When I've read these words of Jesus before, I always thought that Jesus was complaining about the lack of laborers. Maybe you have too. But what if the shortage of laborers isn't a glitch in God's program at all? What if it's an intentional feature? Throughout God's story, he's always used the most unlikely people in the most ridiculous ways. He chose an elderly couple to be the parents of many nations. He appointed Moses, a man with a stammer, to be his mouthpiece to Pharaoh. He chose Rahab, a prostitute, to save his holy people. He picked a small shepherd boy to be the king of Israel. He selected a family from backwater Galilee to give birth to the Messiah. He drafted the murderous Saul, converted him, changed his name, and sent him out to deliver his gospel to the Gentiles. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And maybe that's just the way God likes it. Think of Gideon's army, which God whittled down from 32,000 to just 300 men. Common sense would say that they had no chance at all, especially given that Gideon himself was a coward. Yet they were able to defeat the invading enemy, and God wanted them to know beyond a doubt that it was his power that delivered them. Stephen Growlithe, who listened to God even when it was ridiculous. He preached obediently to an empty room in an abandoned camp in a quiet forest, and thousands turned to God. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. If God can use the ridiculous, the smallest, the most backwater, the coward, his enemy, the weakest, the fewest, then maybe he can use me too. And if he can use even the likes of me, then he can certainly use you. Amen.